Welcome back, 9 o'clock. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. Good, Nuggets getting the win against the Lakers on Saturday night. The bad, the Avalanche. Well, good and bad. The Avalanche score 6 goals. That's good against Connor Hellebuyck. The bad is that Alexander Georgiev gave up 7 goals. The Avs fall yesterday in their opener at Winnipeg. Rockies still haven't won a series. They split yesterday. They lose 2 out of 3 to Seattle this past weekend. And text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340.
All right, the promo video is out.
Okay.
For the Broncos' new uniforms. Now, I'm going to try to get these to kind of pause at the right moment here. So there's a whole list. Let me go back to the start here.
Okay, thank you.
Full body for the guys. You got the straight orange.
That's a lot of orange.
It's
too much orange.
Because you got socks, pants, jersey,
no stripe.
There looks like there might be a little stripe.
Maybe, but not much.
Not much. Not a lot. But no weird triangle stripe at the top.
Of the helmet.
So let me go here. Okay, so there's the white ones.
The white ones don't look bad.
No, they're minimal, but they're good.
They're okay.
If you're gonna err on one side, err on minimal. They're good.
It looks like the sleeve has some kind of mountain rangey look to it.
There's the blue.
Ooh.
Or are those black? I think those are blue.
Those are very dark blue with a white helmet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because there's a different blue look.
Yeah, then there's the blue jersey, white pants with the white helmet.
Then there's the reversed blue pants, white jersey.
Because I read a thing where they're going to do one that's going to be very much a throwback to the 80s uniforms.
So let me see if I can find where the blue was, because it looked a lot better.
What we're talking about is the new Broncos uniforms are out.
Video's frozen. Thanks, X. Apparently it's a...
What do you go, X?
Yeah, it's a Tesla uniform. So there's... The promo video is kind of what you would think. With an old school Bronco.
Right.
Old Bronco vehicle. So then it flows through Red Rocks, then downtown and to the
stadium. Then to Empower Field, and then they go onto the field.
Yep. So that's not a bad shade of orange right there.
I like, it's a little lighter shade of orange.
And this works great for radio.
this is fantastic.
It's smoother than the current orange, I guess.
It's a lighter shade of the orange.
It's a softer on the eyeballs orange.
With the blue.
See, now that looks
that's blue.
Better. Blue.
Up close, the blue jersey, because it's not as dark a blue jersey as the when they won the Super Bowls.
Right.
With the white helmet. I don't know about the... I guess the white helmet's okay.
The white helmet's all right.
I like the white helmet. I don't know about the blue jersey,
right.
But it looks okay.
So they got the 5280...
On the side of the pants.
On the side of the pants.
And on the front of the helmet.
And on the front of the helmet.
And it's not like when you had... Browns on the side of your pants.
Right. It's not Cheer Express All-Stars.
It's very small. It's 5280 is very small on the stripe.
I don't know what's going on in the numbers here, but.
Is that the mountain range thing they're talking about?
Maybe.
The topographical.
But the orange pant, white jersey, blue helmet.
Looks pretty good.
That's a good look.
It is a good look.
That is a really good look. So.
The orange on orange, I hate.
Yeah, the orange over orange, that's a lot of orange. So. Okay, so those are stars, or is that the breathable mesh right there?
Could be
there?
The breathable mesh, now that you show it more closely. And that's the blue jersey.
Blue pants with the white helmet.
Outlined in orange, with the current Bronco logo on it.
And there's no center stripe on the helmet?
No.
I approve.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
It's more of a flat than anything else. I do like the white, blue, white combo there too. I like the simpler font for the numbers.
I like the font improvement. Yeah, it's because I think the other font was a little tough to read at times. I kind of like the blue jersey with the orange and white kind of mountain rangy-ish striping. And then the white pants got just a single blue line down the side.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I like it with the white helmet.
It's not bad. And then...
Okay, they're not as bad as I thought. I hate the orange on orange, though.
The orange over orange, that's a lot.
Oh, it's just too much.
I hope that's a color rush only.
I think that's probably what that is.
Because you gotta at least have white socks or blue socks.
Right.
Something.
And more of a stripe, more of a predominant stripe on the side. There's a very thin, it looks almost like it's an orangish stripe. Like it's just a different shade of orange on the pant.
The issue I have with the blue over blue is it looks very Texans because it's got the orange collar.
Yeah, I agree.
They're not bad. They could be better.
Could be.
They could be a lot worse.
Can you share that? Make sure you get that over on our Facebook page.
I'll retweet it to the old repost.
Into our X feed
To our X feed.
So your reaction to it.
Let me see if I can figure out how to get this on there.
I like most of them. I hate the orange on orange, though. It's hideous.
It's a lot.
I mean, at least in the color rush orange that they wore before, there was, the jerseys looked better. I was never crazy about the orange on orange with those, but these are just,
So it's a video. I'm trying to find actual just still images so we can get a better look. But right now it's just a video.
So anyway, it's going to be over on our Facebook page and on our X feed if you have not seen it yet. So the Broncos have just released what the unis look like. I'm going to need more time to probably truly let it soak in.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as bad as I thought they might be. I'm with you on that. I do like...
That white helmet's clean, though.
The white helmet looks
real clean.
I'm just still not entirely sure about it with the blue.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's a still with the three different colors. This doesn't have the all orange. Thank God.
Yeah.
But it's got
the road white
predominantly.
Yeah, the home orange jersey, white pants, the road white top jersey with the blue pants, and then the blue on blue with the white helmet. I'm okay with those. Yeah, the only one I dislike is the orange on orange.
And keep those orange pants away from the blue tops. Oh, that's going to look like a mess. I agree with you. There's not enough striping to warrant orange pants. It's just... like sweatpants. They look like yoga pants.
And I do kind of like the ones... I think it's Bowles is in it. With the blue jersey with the white pants.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like them with the white helmet. I kind of like that look.
Yes, I like that one too.
Yeah.
It's,
it
could be a lot worse.
I'm gonna go with a B.
Yeah.
I'll go with a B overall.
I'll go with a B.
Cody's going to hate the stripes on the sleeves. we'll have him on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He's going to hate the stripes on the sleeves because I don't want mountain range stripes on the sleeves. Well, that's kind of what those are.
Mountain range-ish. You got to have a 303, a 720, or a 970 area code to be able to speak on that. No offense, but...
Well, he has lived here long enough.
Is it ever long enough?
At some point, yes. Yes, it is.
I'm giving him a hard time. I don't really care.
Don't be cracking on Cody today.
Who's Cooper, by the way? Who is that? Jonathan Cooper.
I was going to say, it's Jonathan Cooper, dude.
Amari Cooper.
No.
It's April. I mean, I don't know.
Jonathan Cooper.
The white jerseys look pretty solid.
I do like them, yes, with that kind of orange collar.
Yeah. If I'm going to rank them, the white, then the blue, then the orange.
And then, the orange on orange dead last.
Orange over orange, yikes.
Ugh. Those are hideous.
Monochrome does not work at the NFL level, unless it's white.
Here's what we're going to hear, though. Didn't go back to the old Denver D logo. People are going to hate that.
We knew that, though.
That was going to happen. People are going to hate it. Also, I think that they were hoping it was going to be a lighter shade of blue, but they stayed kind of close to the darker blue with the helmets and with the blue on blue
when
look.
When you get closer to it, it looks lighter.
It's a little bit of lighter shade of blue. I agree.
It'll look great in the sun.
There will be people that don't like the helmets not having a stripe. I'm fine with that, with it not having a stripe down the middle, but there are going to be people that are not going to be happy with that.
Because I like the uniform size stripe. I didn't like the gets bigger as it the farther back it goes.
Right.
That looked weird. I looked very UFL-ish.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Well, apparently that mock-up one wasn't anywhere close to being
what it is, yeah.
And these do look different than the one they had. Like somebody released what they thought they were going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, they're really close. It's like, not really. They're similar. Well, I guess, I'm looking at them again. They are similar.
Mm-hmm.
The striping's different.
I like the font. The numerical font is really good. I like it.
I like the font, too. I like the change in that.
It's not quite square, but it's not as rounded as it used to be.
I agree. Yeah, overall, I don't think it's bad.
No, they're all right.
You can find
them at our X feed or on our Facebook page.
Yeah, and didn't comment on them. What do you think about the Broncos' new uniforms?
You can find the video, I guess, at our X feed.
Right. Yeah, I felt like they were going to look worse than this.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. I thought they were just leading up to this. When I saw the Mile High report piece, I'm going, they're going to be hideous. They actually look pretty good. I know they're not Detroit Lions cool looking.
Right.
They're not that good, but they're not bad. I'll be honest, I think it's a nice upgrade. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Just don't bust out those orange on orange. Just don't bust those out very often. Yikes.
Be very judicious with the orange pants.
Yeah.
Very judicious.
They could have made these a whole lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
They could have screwed them up really, really bad.
I think you should not match the pants to the jersey unless it's white.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the orange on
or
orange
just stick
look
with the white pants.
Yeah.
Total. Make that the
because it,
default.
when they did the Color Rush orange on orange, I don't know, it was bad.
But they had those thick stripes on the side,
which kind of took away
it up a little bit.
Yeah, and these don't have. They have striping on the shoulders that are kind of jaggedish looking. Mm-hmm. I guess to reflect.
But they don't go over the top.
No,
they go around the side, which is different.
Yes. And with those big kind of classic wide stripes, like mm-hmm. a 1960s jersey.
Yeah. Old Colts style.
Yeah, that helped.
Steelers.
Yeah, that helped in regard to what the old Color Rush uniforms mm-hmm. kind of made the pants not look as bad. Made the uniform look a little better.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
These just I can't say that I'm digging what the orange on orange look in this one.
So Fanatics has them available for purchase already. So there's your jerseys. Kinda. I don't know if those are the authentic. They say they're the game jerseys. But they're pretty cheap for NFL jerseys at $129.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide on what the stripe on the shoulder is supposed to look like. Cause it is jagged-ish. There is a little...
Yeah, it is.
It kind of goes up around the top of the shoulder. The bottom, it's white
mm-hmm.
with a blue stripe at the bottom that kind of... It has like a little jag.
It's got the jagged on the bottom, but looks Mountain Peak-ish on the top. So what I see... Now, this might sound stupid, but this is what I see.
Okay, it's what you see. It's your opinion.
You have the first level orange is your foothill-ish with a shadow on the one side.
Got it.
And then the second level is your, Continental Divide-ish mountain. And then the white at the top, which is neither. But that's kind of what I see.
But it's not as... Like we've seen some of the mock-ups.
It's not as pronounced.
As a zigzag
mm-hmm.
to look more like a mountain range. It doesn't look quite like that. It's a little more
because I can't see.
Trying to curvature of the shoulder a little
yeah,
more.
Yeah, it's not showing the side or the backside, I guess. So it doesn't jag any more than the ones at the front.
Yeah, I
still. I mean,
overall, I don't dislike them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that are now they're showing the Broncos unis. You know, the classic 80s, the lighter blue helmet with the Denver D.
Yeah.
Well, they're inferior to these.
Well, yeah. They're not going to go backwards, though.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, could they have found a way to take some of the aesthetics of those uniforms?
Sunset orange, summit white, midnight navy. Damari Leach has a statement. Don't know if you can.
Yeah. This has been a thoughtful, collaborative journey that involved us listening to the voices throughout all the Broncos country. And of course, Damani Leach is the team president, by the way. Voices throughout all of Broncos country to design the Mile High Collection. Our modern and inspirational new uniforms of the Denver Broncos. We're grateful for the engagement and creativity of ownership, the players, our football and business leadership, Nike, and especially the best fans in the NFL during this entire process. And he goes on to say, as we honor the championship tradition of the Broncos, we've also committed to innovation and growth during such a transformative time in franchise history. Our new uniforms, the Mile High Collection, solidify boldly integrate elements of our past, present, and future while paying tribute to Colorado and the Rocky Mountain region we proudly call home.
People got to stop using inspirational where it doesn't apply.
Yeah.
These jerseys don't inspire me to do anything.
They look cool. They look fine. Or people think they look hideous, whatever.
Right.
Whatever your take on it is. But we had to know. Look, you had to know, for those that are unhappy that they would want them to look just like the ones from the 80s, you had to know they were not going to go back and, boom, bring back the uniforms of the 80s.
Right.
Would there be some kind of, you know, tip of the helmet to that kind of? Sure. And I feel like they're kind of trying to do that a little
bit.
So
those are the triangles in the numbers. And on the side, they're performance vents. Okay.
So those are triangles, like the topographical mountain
yes.
triangles that we talked about earlier. Okay, so they did work that in some way to it, which you can't unless you get up on it really close, you can't tell.
And the something air at higher elevations, because it won't. I can't zoom in on what the words are.
So it's their first uniform change in 27 years. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while. I don't know. Pilot, just, you know, what's, can you put it on our X feed and our Facebook page?
Yeah. The so inner neckline has Broncos country with 5280 in there. That's
okay.
Kind of neat.
That is kind of neat.
The sleeve cap represents a mountain peak.
Does it?
Created from the line work in the jaw of our primary Bronco logo and highlights our rugged terrain. The brighter contrasted semicircle above represents the sun rising and setting behind the mountain peak.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That makes sense, I guess.
Okay. I'll be honest, I like the zigzaggy stripe
mm-hmm.
for the mountain range better on some of the mock-up ones, the ones people are trying to, you know, here's what I think they might do. And I kind of like that better. Not these look bad.
They updated the font for the name on back, but the Broncos typeset on the front is the old font with kind of the sticky, pointy outy parts of some of the letters. That makes sense? Technical term?
I got you. Yeah. I know what you mean.
So,
primary home uniform will be the orange jersey with the white pants. The primary
sunset orange.
Right, but they can also be matched with the sunset orange and midnight dark navy blue pants. Primary road unis are going to be white jersey, which will pair with the white, orange, or midnight navy blue pants. Alternative uniform to be worn at home will be the midnight blue color and again be matched up by any of the three colors, but will most likely draw the same midnight navy blue pants. The alternative dark blue jerseys will match well with the white pants. So, what about the orange on orange?
Just tell me they did it just to make Garrett Bowles put it on.
So I'm assuming, or was that Quinn Miners wearing it?
72?
72 was Bowles in the blue jersey. I thought Miners was 77 in the orange on orange.
I did not get to the numbers. I was
That's okay.
alarmed at how much orange there was.
So that'll be a home uniform they can wear? Yikes, let's keep that in the closet as much as possible, guys.
Can wear, not should wear.
Not should wear, can. It's an option. Like, we all have clothes in our closet that we bought and thought we looked really cool in, and then went, oh my God, that looks horrible.
Yep.
And chose not to do that.
Yep.
Let's keep those in the closet, okay? Locker room guys, let's not roll those unis out.
They're not bad. They're all right.
With the exception of the orange on orange.
The orange on orange is not good. They're...
And so the helmet, the new metallic satin matte finish of the Navy helmets with a matching Navy face mask, which is pretty much looks like it always has.
Yeah. There's no stripe. It's not as shiny. It
says there's a light orange dual stripe not visible from the front. It starts from the crown of the helmet and stripes to the back. Okay, I haven't seen.
Okay, I got a helmet video going on here. All right. Oh, there it is. On the white helmets. Yeah, it's...
Okay, you can see it's...
It's the Mountain Peak
it is
deal.
It is the one that was on.
Oh, see, interesting. There you go. If they would just freeze frame on the back here, this would be great, but they're trying to...
So it doesn't go all the way over the top, though, does it?
No, it fades?
What's goofy?
Tapers?
What's goofy?
Again, that kind of ruins it for me because I think the... Just go with a stripe or not
either,
a stripe.
Either stripe or no stripe. Either
don't
it goes all
fade
the
fade or taper or whatever.
Either it goes all the way over the top or you just don't have a stripe. It goes front to back and that's it.
Speaking of videos, just to kind of sidestep from this, the R-rated Deadpool and Wolverine trailer is out this morning.
Oh.
I'm even more geeked for the movie. I'm really kind of psyched.
Did you watch it already?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'll have to check it out here after
that. It is just, it's not fit for air.
No.
Not even at all.
About as appropriate as Crash Davis's speech.
Yes. A lot of the F word in there, in the trailer.
You think Disney's going to be going, we're sure we should have done this. Sure you should be doing this.
If the nerds online, me included, show up at the box office, they'll be fine.
They'll be perfectly happy. They're not going to care.
Yeah.
All right. 9:23. So, got some thoughts on it. Text or call us 970-242-1340. The new Broncos uniforms are out. For the most part, yeah, I like them.
All right.
I like them. All right. Trevor Baskin, soon to be a member of the University of Colorado Buffalo's men's basketball team, joins us next.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warp twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy. New Broncos unis are at. Give us your thoughts on that. Also, can the Avalanche get out of the first round after losing yesterday to Winnipeg? Your thoughts on Nuggets-Lakers tonight. Did the Nuggets grab a 2-game-to-none lead over the Lakers? You can text or call us 970-242-1340 with us right now. Soon to be a member of the University of Colorado men's basketball team. RMAC Player of the Year, Trevor Baskin joins us. Trevor, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes.
Thank you for having me.
It's a bittersweet conversation for me because we've loved seeing you play here in Grand Junction with Colorado Mesa. You've had an incredible career here, but the chance to go play D1 basketball for Tad Boy, University of Colorado, you've got to be thrilled for you for that opportunity. We've had Coach Boyle with us on the program before. Really respect what Tad Boyle has done at Colorado, taking them, of course, to another NCAA tournament appearance. But for you, it came down to Colorado State, Colorado. What ultimately sold you on the Buffs over the Rams when you made your decision?
And it was a really difficult decision. I want to get that out there because both coaching staffs have tremendous success and tremendous plans, and they had great vision for me as a player. But ultimately, I think the competitive drive in me has always wanted to play at the highest level. And when Colorado's moving to the Big 12, playing the Maui Invitational, their facilities are out of this world. I mean, stuff I couldn't even imagine. It was all too hard, and the coaches have a really good plan for me. Their offense fit a little bit better into my play style as well. So that was also a contributing factor. But it was a very difficult decision. But there's being able to compete at the highest level in an offense where it could help complement my game, and hopefully we can win a lot of games.
What was the conversation like with you and Tad Boyle about coming to Colorado? Can you pull back the curtain a little bit on that conversation you had with Coach Boyle?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've on my visits, he talked about how he loves me being able to play multiple positions, and how he saw me fit into the offense, where there's a player who's similar in a similar type player, and Tristan Da Silva, who was there last year, who's going into the draft, and how he sees similar qualities in my game compared to his, and how he thinks that being put into this offense, that the team can have tremendous success.
We're talking with Trevor Baskin, who is transferring from Colorado Mesa, has 1 year of eligibility left in the transfer portal, and he'll be playing for the University of Colorado coming up this next basketball season. So with Mike DeGeorge leaving, for you, Trevor, you'd already kind of made that decision prior to Coach DeGeorge's decision. Is that true? Kind of take us through the timeline of when you decided, hey, I still want to play D1. I've got 1 year left, and I've enjoyed my time here in Grand Junction, but I need to take advantage of that opportunity with the time I have left. What was that in terms of when you made that decision to go to the portal?
So I kind of made that decision at the end of last year when we had meetings with coaches. I said I want to play here for 4 years, and I want to graduate from Colorado Mesa, but I think after I graduate, I might enter the portal. And I wasn't like set on like, oh, I hate Mesa, I got to get out of here. I mean, I love this place. It's my home, and it'll always be my home. But if for me, in order for me to do the things I want to accomplish in my life, I needed to take that next step and help prepare myself for potentially the NBA or wherever it is. And I think going up that step, and coach respected it. I just want to let him know before, so that he could have time to recruit incoming players and be able to recruit, so he wasn't blindsided by the fact that sort of that I would enter the portal after the next year. So I didn't want him assuming anything. I wanted to be very transparent, very candid with him.
And, of course, you make the move at the time Colorado makes the move back to the Big 12. And really, and I think a lot of people's opinion, Trevor, the best Division I college basketball conference in the country. I mean, so you're going into, well, the RMAC's always been tough. You're going into probably college basketball's murderer's row, if you will, of some incredible programs. Kansas, Baylor over the years, teams and programs that have either won national championships or gone very deep into the NCAA basketball tournament. You definitely go into some extremely tough competition going with the Buffaloes into the Big 12.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, there's Kansas, Houston, Iowa State, Arizona now, Baylor. I mean, there's all these phenomenal teams, and even I mean, you can name any team, and every single game is going to be a dogfight. And as a competitor, that makes me really, really excited. Honestly, I mean, obviously, I'm going to have to gain strength and be ready for the physicality of the Big 12. But to get where I want to go to, I am going to have to play these teams at one point. So I might as well play some of the biggest and the baddest teams in the country, and I can't wait to do it. I've dreamed about playing potentially Kansas and Iowa State and all these phenomenal teams, so it's honestly a dream come true. It's really exciting.
Trevor Baskin with us today on the Team Sports Network, and when you look at the last RMAC scholarship player to go to Colorado, Derek White, who's now playing with the Boston Celtics, that worked out pretty well for him. I know that you probably you're hoping that the trajectory works out even as good for you, the way things worked out for Derek White.
Definitely. I mean, yeah, I mean, that was also part of CU's sales pitch is that, look, we've taken a guy from the RMAC and took him to the NBA. Why not you? And I talked to Derek, and he's the nicest guy, and he had nothing but great things to say about CU. And there's not a lot of people that can put themselves in my shoes, necessarily for this situation. But he is one of them that understands what it's like to make that jump from RMAC school to Colorado. So that was a very valuable person to talk to, and I was really appreciative of that.
I imagine with you talking to Derek White, you probably talked with Joel Scott because you were still also considering you're going to maybe Colorado State and playing for Nico Medved. I imagine you probably had a conversation with Joel as well.
Definitely. I mean, Colorado State also had a history of taking Division II players and having tremendous success with them as well. So it was honestly a win-win situation for me wherever I ended up going. And I talked to Joel a lot as well. Saw him up on my visit when I was up there and talked to him. And I mean, he's a great guy. So I was really happy to just be able to get to know him a little bit better and help me through this time and figure out what's best for me.
Trevor Baskin joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. How big of a role did your dad John play in you seeking out his advice on making this decision?
Not a crazy amount. I mean, he was very supportive no matter where I ended up going. And he understood that both schools were very good options, and how he was just happy that the two schools I was considering most were in the state of Colorado. So he didn't have to go that far to watch me play. So he was mostly worried about that. But, other than that, he was just a neutral party giving me some advice and helping me out through the decisions I'm having struggled with.
We're talking to Trevor Baskin, former Colorado Mesa Maverick, of course, RMAC Player of the Year, and had a sensational season, and of course racked up a lot of accolades as well, with some of the academic awards as well, Trevor. So certainly, how big is that mantle that you have? Because you picked up a lot of hardware this season, my friend.
I don't have a mantle set up yet, but I'm tremendously honored. The academic first team All-American was definitely probably the happiest individual accomplishment I could say. I mean, it's a testament to my parents helping me take academics just as seriously as I take athletics, and that one was I was really excited and happy about.
Yeah, probably in a cardboard box right now since you're going to be moving over to Boulder here in the near future. So just got stuff kind of packed away right now. So let's go back to your time at CMU, where you went from coming off the bench, as a freshman, young guy, averaging like 4 points per game, and then of course this last season, incredible season, 18 points per game, just a sensational season, RMAC Player of the Year. Give me a couple of what's going to be your favorite memories of playing for Colorado Mesa.
I mean that's a laundry list of things. Anything related, honestly, outside of basketball with my teammates is stuff that I'll never forget. I mean, our trips to Europe and stuff like that, but specifically on the court, there's a couple games that I can think of specifically. The whiteout games, the Blizzards and Bronsons were always a blast, with how competitive and how loud the games were. And then the win over Fort Lewis at West Texas was a pretty sweet win. And the win over my sophomore year over Lubbock Christian, the upset when we beat the host, was also probably a couple of my favorite ones for sure.
Well, Trevor, we appreciate the time. Once again, it's bittersweet because we're going to miss having you here at CMU, but wishing nothing but the best. Your chance to fill the dream of playing Division I basketball at the University of Colorado. We always appreciate the time. Thanks for all the times you've come on, and hopefully down the road maybe we can track you down again during the season and get you on for a few minutes talking about how things are going with the Buffs. We always appreciate it.
Definitely, no. I appreciated these calls. I've always enjoyed them, and definitely, I'd love to keep in touch and not have this be the last time I end up being on the Jim Davis Show.
Well, Trevor, I appreciate it. Tell your dad, John, hi, and thank you so much, and good luck with Coach Boy on the Buffaloes.
All right, sounds great. Thank you.
Take care, Trevor Baskin, now member of the University of Colorado Buffalo's men's basketball team. And I just think, you know, for people that, you know, they're upset that the guys are transferring, hitting the portal. He played here for his four seasons. He's got a fifth one. He wanted to play Division I basketball. Mm-hmm. He was forthcoming about that, heading into his final season playing here in Grand Junction. I just, how do you begrudge a young man of wanting to fulfill that dream of playing Division I basketball?
Mike Dunlap's going to have a job in front of him, though.
Yes, he will.
10 of the top 11 scorers are not going to be back this year.
As Elijah Newton also deciding he's going to hit the transfer portal as well.
Aiden Cool.
But also hearing that Mike has already got 5 or 6 Australian commitments.
Oh, there you go.
So he is quickly restocking over at CMU. All right. Once again, always enjoy talking with Trevor. Mm-hmm. Really nice young man and just a heck of a basketball player. One of the all-time Maverick greats along with his dad, John. All right, 9:37, and it's time to get into four-down territory this morning.
We're into four-down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, go to first down. Michael Jordan. And Ty Reddick on Sunday. Ty Reddick giving his boss Michael Jordan a moment to remember with his 23 racing win at Talladega in Talladega, Alabama. Of course, Michael Jordan, like I mentioned, owner of that team, that Reddick came through all the wreckage in the final lap of the Geico 500, doing his sixth NASCAR Cup victory on the NASCAR circuit. Jordan, who owns the NASCAR Cup Series, who owns that team racing team with Denny Hamlin, by the way, ecstatic about it. And Michael Jordan was celebrating with Ty Reddick's son after his dad's win. There's a video of Michael Jordan holding Ty Reddick's kid, talking to him, bouncing him up and down. So there is a human part of Michael Jordan after all.
Interesting.
Apparently Michael Jordan likes kids.
Apparently he found somebody that he feels bounces kids on their knee better.
Second down. CBS Morning's co-host Gail King made a lot of people mad about a comment she made about Caitlin Clark. Made one former NBA player really mad, Steven Jackson, who played for 8 teams in his 14 seasons, blasted King for a comment she made to South Carolina coach Dawn Staley. That South Carolina captain, undefeated season with the win over Clark in Iowa. Staley made her appearance on CBS Mornings, and King asked her about the game, mentioning, "We're all cheering for Iowa, of course, and Caitlin Clark." With that, Jackson ripped King. So Gail King's supposed to be somebody that's big in the journalism space, right? I don't consider her black media. Y'all give her all these passes because she's Oprah's friend. I don't give a bleep whose friend she is, but you cannot demean Dawn Staley like that. You're talking about winning the championship by going undefeated, and you have the nerve to get out there and say, "We were rooting for Caitlin Clark, and you broke everybody's hearts." Who is we? All the black people I know are rooting for Dawn Staley. We're all fans of Caitlin Clark. Boy, he put that bleep was trash. Okay, Steven Jackson's upset. I agree with him, though, that that was not the way to phrase it.
The overall point is right.
Overall point. He's...
I'm with him.
Taking it and kind of making it racial and things like that. My thought is, you're talking to Dawn Staley, who just won the women's basketball championship. They went undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
The Caitlin Clark story for Dawn Staley is irrelevant. You talked to her about the success of your team, what a great season it was to go undefeated and win it all. You might say, hey, you had to beat a really good team. Caitlin Clark, tremendous player. That had to make it even more special. You could do that a couple questions in. I don't think that's inappropriate to mention Caitlin Clark. You should mention Caitlin Clark. But I got to agree with Steven Jackson in that that's not the first thing you ask her. We're all rooting for Caitlin Clark. Well, not everybody was rooting for Caitlin Clark. There were South Carolina fans who were obviously not rooting for Caitlin Clark. There are other people in the country not rooting for Caitlin Clark. The Caitlin Clark story was great. I was rooting for, but I also like the University of Iowa, too. I like Caitlin Clark. And that's something Steven Jackson's not saying, you have to hate on Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. He was saying, Dawn Staley and her team won the championship. Why don't you ask her about that? And why are you bringing up that we are all rooting for Caitlin Clark? You're supposed to be in the media. You're supposed to have, I know allegedly, kind of an unbiased approach to it. And it's true that we're not always having an unbiased approach. But I agree with him on that. That was a horrible way to ask her a question about her team just winning the championship.
Yeah, no, it's
throwing all the racial
terrible.
The racial parts out of it, whatever. That to me was a terrible question to ask her.
This is why you don't put sports people on like the Today Show. Don't talk about sports on the Today Show, because you're only going to make yourself look stupid or ask stupid questions.
Or have somebody that knows something about sports maybe ask the question.
Right.
Maybe not Gail King.
Isn't there a Michael Strahan or a Nate Burleson wandering around somewhere? That's the other two networks.
No, that would be Burleson. Burleson's on CBS Mornings.
Oh, that's right. She's on CBS Mornings.
Yeah. She's on with him.
Yeah. See?
So let Nate ask that question.
Yeah.
I agree with Steven Jackson, and that's not a question you ask her about her team just winning the championship. Yeah. Well, we're all pulling for Caitlin Clark. Well, they weren't pulling for Caitlin Clark. They wanted to beat Caitlin Clark. And to say that is not insulting Caitlin Clark.
No, it's like we were all rooting for you to lose. It's like, man, that's what are you having her on for then?
Like, well, then thanks a lot.
Caitlin Clark not available?
Yeah, I'm Don Staley. Like, I'm getting, like, I like Caitlin Clark, but damn, yeah. I'm tired of hearing about her.
Yeah, they won the trophy, but they're runners up in our hearts.
Yeah.
I
agree with him on that part of it.
Man.
Come on. They just won it. That's a stupid question to ask. And a stupid way to phrase it. Third and fourth down.
Third down, NBA award finalists are out. No surprise that your MVP finalists are, as I call him, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka Doncic, and Nikola Jokic. Little surprising that the clutch player of the year, DeMar DeRozan, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Steph Curry. Now, this might be a little demeaning with Steph Curry's resume. In clutch situations, according to USA Today, the Thunder were 23-11 with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in clutch games, right?
Okay,
I don't know what they're defining as clutch in clutch time. The Bulls were 24-16 with DeMar DeRozan.
That's not bad. It's pretty good.
The Warriors were 23-20 in clutch games with Steph Curry.
Why is Steph Curry in that conversation?
That's kind of my question.
why is
that's
he?
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Wow. Why?
The other what two? Are Nikola Jokic numbers in crunch time?
Do you know?
I don't. That's my question. It's like, shouldn't he be in there?
You would think.
As a clutch player. Defensive player of the year could be Bam Adebayo, Rudy Gobert, or Victor Wembanyama. It's probably going to be Rudy Gobert, because Minnesota's defense was stellar this year. Should be. But rookie of the year, do Chet Holmgren or Brandon Miller have any chance at all to win over Victor Wembanyama?
No.
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 Not even at all.
No.
So there's that. And more basketball. Well, three of the four downs on basketball this time. The Milwaukee Bucks official X account is kind of stepped in it a little bit. They tweeted, X'd, posted, whatever, that they're trying to get you fired up for the playoffs. So this is their tweet verbatim. What happened in 82 games? Nobody really cares. It's what you do now. That's pretty much saying the regular season's pointless.
So let's just have the playoffs. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, not great.
Not great.
So there you go. That's four down territory.
All right. Time for this day in sports history.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's this day in sports history.
All right, 1876, the first official National League baseball game is played with Boston beating Philadelphia by the score of 6-5. 1945, Toronto Maple Leafs edge the Detroit Red Wings 2-1 to win the Stanley Cup in seven games. Also on this day, 1969, Joe Frazier knocks out Dave Zagailowicz in 96 seconds to retain the heavyweight boxing title. Also, 1987, the NBA grants expansion franchises too. They went crazy this year. Charlotte, Miami, Minnesota, and Orlando. Charlotte and Miami joined the league in the 88-89 season. Minnesota and Orlando joined in 89-90.
Yeah,
four teams in 1 year. And then one final one, 2006, New Jersey scores a playoff record 5 power play goals in their 6-1 win over New York. And now we'll do one more. 2007, Boston Red Sox tie a major league record by hitting 4 straight home runs in a 7-6 win over the Yankees. Manny Ramirez, J.D. Drew, Mike Lowell, and Jason Veritek connect in the span of 10 pitches during the third inning against Chase Wright.
The uniform reveal continues for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, there's more.
There's more. Do you want it now or do you want to wait till after the break?
Let's do it after the break.
Okay.
All right. So if you got reaction to the Broncos' new uniforms, you can check it out at our X feed, also Facebook as well. Dylan likes them. He says the throwbacks are clean.
The throwbacks, yeah. The throwbacks are pretty
that's what
rad.
Is that what just came out?
Yes.
Okay, I've not seen that yet.
They're pretty rad.
Okay. And let's see what else.
That's pretty much what the text line is about right now.
Like we have, let's see, one from Brian Fort Lewis College Raider. The one, it's the picture, because you can send us pictures too, of Pat Surtain. And that's a throwback one.
Yes, it is.
It looks good. Yeah, I do like that. I like that a whole lot. All right, 9:48. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Jim Davis Show.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back in, 9:51. Hey, quick reminder, by the way, tomorrow we'll be over at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, right across from Houston Hall. We'll be over there for Mav Day tomorrow. I believe Miles Cochaver, Maverick football coach, is going to be by.
Nice.
Imagine Chris Hanks as well. Still firming up tomorrow's lineup, but we'll be over there from 9 to 10 o'clock. Show the first 2 hours will be here, obviously, then run over there and grab a cup of coffee from James and Amanda over at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. That is tomorrow. We'll be over there for Mav Day from 9 to 10. And don't forget, they don't charge extra for the coffee add-ons over there at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. All right, so 9:52, they've released the throwback uniform now.
Yep.
I like it. Should be the uniform. That's what they go with. Even if they would have kept the current logo on it, it still would have looked really good. Looks better with the classic Denver D.
They should go back to that color blue.
Yeah, I like that blue, the lighter blue.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the video.
Nobody wears a nice lighter blue in the NFL.
Yeah, I love the fact that the video has Patrick Surtain going to like the secondhand store. And it's Randy Gradishar. And he hands him the helmet.
Should have had Jonathan Cooper do that. Or Baron Brown.
Probably.
Buckeye to Buckeye. But, you know, can't have what we want.
It's a very cool video with Randy Gradishar.
Yeah, those jerseys are pretty rad.
They look really good. That's what the other ones are okay. The new ones,
they'll grow on you, I'm sure.
But man, this is the one that everybody wants. It's the one it's the uniform they should have gone with. Taking it back to the past. Classic look.
Now, when's the brown and yellow come back? That's my question. Bring it.
Never.
Bring it back.
Well, they did beat
Dave Bautista. Give me what I want.
They did beat Belichick and the Patriots and the Mustard and Browns. See? Kyle Orton. Yeah. Remember they won 6 straight start the season?
Undefeated in the evil empire.
Daniel Graham was on the cover of SI, and it's like, all right. The little hoodie beat old hoodie. Padawan beat the master.
Jump the shark.
And then crash.
Yes.
Love the throwbacks. Absolutely love the throwbacks. The thrift store things, that's a cool video.
It's a neat video. You can find those on the Broncos socials or actually at their website too.
Okay.
There you go. Driving traffic.
So I do like most of the new look.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one, though, they should just go with this.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just be honest. They should just go with this. Go back to the past. But the new ones are okay. I hate, except for the orange on orange. Absolutely atrocious. It looks hideous.
Just a lot.
The orange,
a lot of orange.
Just too much. Just way too much.
Orange, good in moderation.
All right, so join us tomorrow morning on the program. Once again, we'll be over at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House for Mav Day from 9 to 10 tomorrow. So make sure you swing by.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a fun time. Usually always is.
James, always make sure he's got your
iced tea. Got iced tea taken care of for me, yeah.
And I'm sure I'll be having an almond mocha tomorrow.
Probably.
Now that I've become addicted to coffee. No, I don't know. I'm going to probably go with that again.
Yeah.
I like that so much.
You had two last time.
I had two.
Right?
It was pretty hyped up that day.
Super Bowl when we got back.
I was like, ugh.
We should go do this. We should do all the things. Like, calm down there.
Settle down. Settle down, Jim.
Chill out.
Mellow out a little bit.
That crash can't come soon enough. Blackhawk down at 3:30.
All right. That's our show for today. Don't forget, we'll have the Nuggets tonight taking on the Lakers. 7:30 for that one right here on the Team Sports Network.